the reason I was not in my seat earlier, I explained I was bugging Kyle. I know he was trying to prepare, and so was I. I like to write the scriptures down whenever I know I have to do this. Gives me a better understanding of what I'm reading, and I try to understand the scriptures as I'm writing. Sometimes it helps me whenever I'm writing them. And I wrote this one this evening, and I tell you what, I have trouble with it, trying to understand, which I do a lot of times. Sometimes when I do read stuff in the Bible, and I just don't understand it. And a lot of times I ask Jeff to help explain it to me. So I think maybe Kyle will give you a little more understanding about this scripture than and I know he's going to help me, I think, this evening. So we're going to try this. It's going to be Philippians 3. It's going to be 12 through 16. And I've taken this out of the New King James Version. Philippians 3, 12 through 16. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, and if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind.
Well, good evening, everyone. Always thankful for the opportunities that I have. Thankful for Carl and the song reading. We're thankful for Brother Harvey and his prayer. And I, Sarah and myself, are very thankful to Randall and Sherry. They had us over for lunch today. And we had some good fellowship and discussions and things of that nature, but we're very thankful for that. This evening we're going to talk about maturity. There's many signs, I think, of maturity. Physical maturity, but also spiritual maturity is what we're going to focus on this evening. But it's interesting when you start discussing maturity, when we think back on ourselves when we were younger, you know, it was almost something that we were really striving for. You know, I want to be mature. Well, why do you want to be mature? Well, I want to be mature because when I obtain that magical word, you know, I get a drive, or I get more responsibilities, or I get these things, you know. So I want to mature very quickly so I can obtain these things. And then, you know, maturity we sometimes tie with age. And then we'll look back and say, you know, why did I ask this to go so quickly? You know, now it's all gone. But I think maturity goes a little bit deeper than that. Because I think when we look at the Bible, particularly spiritual maturity, I think that's what Paul's getting at here in Philippians is really consider spiritual maturity. You know, some people fight growing up. They don't want to mature. Some people say, I'm going to be a kid. I'm going to be a kid forever. But is that the way that maybe we should handle our Christian life? Are we really trying to mature the way that we should mature? Of course, there's all kinds of definitions out there for maturity, but one that I found that I appreciated, it says maturity is coming to a fuller knowledge and an appreciation of that fuller knowledge. You know, when we're younger, we don't necessarily understand all things, but then we end up learning those things later in life, and then we really appreciate that knowledge which we've obtained. And we think of immature people. A lot of times, people that are immature, they don't know everything that they should, and they make decisions with inaccurate information a lot of times. But what I want to look at this evening is spiritual maturity. You know, we look at the passage that was just read, verse 15 in Philippians chapter 3. Says, therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, and if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that you have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us be of the same mind. what Paul does here is he's tying maturity to the model. And when I read that, of course, there's a whole package that we can unpack there, what Paul's talking about in context, all these things, and hopefully we'll be able to pull some of those things out as we explore this evening, maturity. But when I read through that, I thought, you know what? What makes a mature Christian? What is a mature Christian? What would maturity look like spiritually? And what are signs of that? Can we see maturity just like we can see physical maturity? You know, we think about physical maturity. There are signs that we can say we can see this person maturing. A, B, C, D. Can we see spiritual maturity in the same way? What I'd like to do this evening is explore this idea that Paul has brought up here, maturity. Those of you who are mature, what are some signs of maturity? The first one I'd like to look at this evening, a sign of spiritual maturity, is growing. You know, the interesting thing about that is that's also a trait of physical maturity. Is that as we look at my daughter or anyone, we start to say, hey, we can see that they're maturing. They're growing. Okay? Now, maturity includes a lot of things. A lot of times people include growth in that, age, all kinds of things. But we think about physical, we think growing up, we can see them maturing. Can we see spiritual growth? No, let us mature spiritually. Well, how will we grow spiritually? Well, I think when we look here in Philippians chapter 3, Paul immediately ties that maturity to the mind, your mindset. He immediately ties it to the mind. So let us mature spiritually in relation to our mindset, in relation to our knowledge, in relation to our understanding, in relation to our attitude towards the Christian life and God's Word. Are we maturing in those aspects of our life? Because I think all throughout the New Testament, what we see, not only here in Philippians, but throughout the New Testament, is a call to grow, a call to grow in your spiritual understanding, a call to grow in your spiritual knowledge, a call to grow in your attitude towards the Christian life, and the way which you're living your life. Where can we see those calls? All throughout the New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 20. It says, brethren, do not be children in understanding. However, in malice be babes, but in understanding be mature. We see that word once again. This idea of understanding is tied to being mature. Well, we tie that to physical maturity. As we mature, what happens is you understand more and more things. As you spiritually mature, you know what should happen? You should understand more and more things. It's not that we're going to understand all things right when we become Christians, but the call is to mature, to grow. Have you grown since you became a Christian? Have you grown in your understanding of God's Word? Have you grown in your knowledge of God's Word? Have you grown in your attitude in God's Word? Or have you just become complacent? Are you at the same place that you've always been? You haven't matured, you haven't grown. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 11. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. The call to grow. Grow up. It's time to grow up. We as Christians cannot stay stagnant, and we cannot stay children. We cannot stay babes in Christ. The call is to grow. The call is to mature in your understanding and your knowledge and your attitude. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 13 through 15, but I'm going to focus mainly on chapter 14, but in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, it says, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, and carried away with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, and the cunning and craftiness of deceitful plotting. You know, with young children, you can do a lot of things with them, right? You can take stuff in, hide it behind your back, and depending on the age of the child, where'd it go? I don't know. You know, as they mature, they start to understand, you know what, that item is just right behind the back. Then you got to get a little bit more deeper, and you got to actually hide it, maybe hide it in a cabinet. Then the kids, they grow up, and they get even more of an understanding, and then they start to realize, you know, they probably hid it somewhere. It's got to be somewhere in the house. It didn't just disappear, right? As people grow, physically, they mature in their understanding and their knowledge. We are called to do the same thing. In relation, in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14, the caution is that we cannot be children in relation to doctrines and the things that people are telling us. Are we just listening to everything that people say without testing it? Test all things, hold fast to that which is good. Are we testing everything that people are telling us? Are we understanding? Are we double-checking? Are we making sure that it matches up with God's Word? Are we like little children, just going along with whatever people tell us? They tell us this, we believe it. They tell us this, we believe it. Or are we maturing? Are we maturing? Are we growing in our knowledge and our understanding of God's Word? The call to grow is all throughout the New Testament. We can see it again and again and again. The question is, are we doing it the way we should? Are we growing in our knowledge? Are we growing in our understanding? Are we maturing and growing each and every day in our Christian lives? In Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14, I think that's where we find a problem that's trying to be addressed. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For anyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those who, by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Are you growing? Are you maturing? Certainly we can see that with our children. Certainly we can see that with our grandchildren. As they grow up, we introduce more and more substance. We start with milk, and then we start introducing more and more substance. Are you being introduced to more and more substance, or are people still giving you the milk? Are you growing? Are you maturing? Are you answering the call to grow? You know, it's dangerous to be immature in relation to our spiritual lives. It's very dangerous to be immature, to not have the understanding and the knowledge and having the right attitude towards God's Word. It's dangerous. But you know what? God gives us the tools that we can grow. He doesn't put us in a situation where we can't grow. He doesn't put us in a situation where we're malnourished. He doesn't put us in a situation. He puts us in a situation where we have a choice. What is the choice? To grow or not to grow? I heard it stated one time, if you're not growing intentionally, you're not growing. If you're not growing intentionally, you're not growing. Have you thought about that statement? And I think it could be applied to maturity. If you're going to mature, it's going to be intentional when it comes to your spiritual maturity. It's not going to happen by accident. You're just not going to wake up one day and miraculously, through osmosis, by carrying your Bible around on your side, you magically get the understanding and knowledge and the attitude that you should have. There's some work, there's some effort that goes into this maturing process that a Christian should be going through. Not that we're perfect, not that we know all things, not that we understand all things, but that we're going through the process with our best effort. Are we putting the effort in to mature and grow in these areas? In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, it says, be diligent. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That word diligent. Are you diligent? You know, we see the Bereans in Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, studying the scriptures daily. Maturing spiritually and growing spiritually. When we do that, there's certain things that start to happen. There's certain signs that we can see. When you're growing spiritually in your understanding and your knowledge and your attitude towards the Bible, you know, we start to see some signs. You know, one of the signs is you start to put a heavier weight on spiritual things than worldly things. People can see it in your life. All of a sudden, you were focused on these things, but now your focus is starting to shift, and you can tell, you can see the signs of maturity. As you grow, you start to put a heavier weight on the spiritual things and not the worldly things. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, you start to see Paul talking about, he says in Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, he says, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I have counted all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. You know, what I break down from that passage right there, is Paul saying, these things used to be important to me. I used to pursue these things, I used to think these things were for good, I used to think these things were important, but you know what? No more! I'm starting to weigh the spiritual things heavier than the worldly things. Isn't that what he's really getting after? He said, but what things were gained to me, those things that I wanted to get, these things I count lost for Christ. He continues on. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. As you mature, you're going to put a weightier weight in relation to spiritual things than worldly things. And that's a sign of maturity. That's a sign of maturity. You have a desire to grow and mature. You know, physically, we see that. You know, a child has a natural instinct to grow. Food. don't have to worry about Asia when it comes to her Rome. She let us know. You know. You know how it goes. You guys have been through it many times, I'm sure. There is no question. The baby knows what it means. It needs to grow. It has a desire to grow. It's almost instinct and laid into it, but is it instinctively laid into our Christian lives? Oh, we like what it says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. As newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that they may grow thereby. You are not going to mature spiritually. You are not going to grow spiritually without the words of God. You're not going to grow in understanding. You're not going to grow in knowledge. You're not going to have a better attitude in relation to the Christian life. You don't have that initial desire to keep pushing forward and growing, maturing. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14, it says, but solitude belongs to those who are full age. That is, those who by reason of youth have their senses exercised to discern between good and evil. Have your exercise been discerned? Can you discern between good and evil? Can you tell what good is and what bad is? You know, I remember when I went to high school and I became a Christian, it seems like I, for some reason, became the guy that people went to for questions. Kyle, what does the Bible say about this? Kyle, what does the Bible say about this? You know what? When you're mature, you don't necessarily always have to. I'm not saying that's bad to seek counsel. You can seek counsel, you can ask, you can study together. But to some degree, part of the maturing process is getting to the point where you can say, I know this is bad and I know this is evil. Why? Because you've matured. You've studied God's Word. You see what it says. You understand. You have the knowledge. You know, with all that being said about the, you know, essentialness of growth, I think that this has to be said. Is we have to understand that no matter how much we study, we're never going to have a perfect knowledge. We're never going to have a perfect understanding. We're never going to have all the answers. We can't obtain that, I think, on this human plane of life. Now, we can obtain enough that we can live a life that's pleasing to God. We can obtain enough that we can become a Christian. That's not what I'm saying. But we've got to be careful that we don't go into this idea that we become so mature that we think that we're better than all those that are around us. That we have matured better than those that are around us. We are better than those that are around us. You know, we're increasing in knowledge of Christ. We're increasing in knowledge of His righteousness. We have to understand that as we study, and actually I think this happens backwards, as you study more, what happens? You realize that you don't have all the answers. Seems like the more you study, the more you realize that you don't know. And I think that's why Paul says in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12, he says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Paul says, I'm not done. I'm not perfect. I need some improvement. You know, and when you're talking about maturity and immaturity, you know something that really immature to say, I'm there. I've made it. I have all the answers. I know everything. That's really immature, isn't it? And we even see that sometimes when we see it, people growing up, is they get that mentality. I've matured to the point that I have all the answers. I don't need any advice. I don't need you. I don't need any help. How arrogant is that? You know what I like about Paul? He doesn't take that on. It's in his maturity. You know what he says? I still have room to grow. I still have room to grow. I still have room to mature. I still have a long way to go. And you know what? We start to realize that spiritual maturity, this spiritual mind, it's not really in relation to your age. It doesn't matter how old you get. It doesn't matter how many hours that you have studied. You can always learn more. Isn't it time to grow up? Be mature, have that mature mind that we see in the Bible. What's he talking about, mature mind? Mature mind in relation to understanding God's Word, having a knowledge of God's Word, having the right attitude in relation to it. But you know the immature thought in relation to growth is, you know, I've made it. I'm where I need to be. No improvements needed. I don't need to grow anymore. I don't need to study anymore. I have all the answers. I'm good enough. That's not what Paul says. Paul says, I'm not perfect. I haven't obtained. I need to keep going. Will you keep going in relation to your life? The first sign of maturity, I think, is growing. We see that physically, but we can also see that spiritually in relation to our understanding and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Number two, another sign that I think we see in relation to maturity is following certain examples. Following certain examples. You know, you think physically, we think about our children, you know, what are we nervous about our children? Is that, you know, they're immature sometimes and they're impressionable and they'll follow the wrong example. You know, isn't that our concern? You know, when you mature, you follow the right example. And some people that are young here might say, oh, I don't like that he says I'm immature and impressionable. Well, you know how you can be mature? Is don't be impressionable. Don't be influenced by your peers. Don't follow peer pressure. Mature. Mature, because isn't that certainly what God wants us to do? He doesn't want to call us to fall to peer pressure. He wants us to follow the right example. You know, and peer pressure has been there since the beginning. People following wrong examples has been there since the beginning. You know? We have people following all kinds of bad examples. You know? Some people, ringing doorbells and running away. Some people trying to eat Tide Pods. I mean, we got people following all kinds of bad examples, all kinds of different places. You know what? Mature people follow the good example. They don't follow the bad example. You know, as you mature, things that start to happen, you start to value spiritual knowledge. You start to value spiritual knowledge. Now, the world is not going to value spiritual knowledge many times. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, it says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." You know, as you mature, as a Christian, you know what should happen is you should value spiritual knowledge more than worldly knowledge. But you know what the world's going to do? The exact opposite. You know what else should happen as you're maturing? Is that you should understand that the source of righteousness is from God alone. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 9, I think that's what he's after. He says, "And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ." The righteousness that we're after is not our own righteousness. And as you mature as a Christian, as you mature throughout this life, in terms of your spiritual maturity, as you mature, one of those signs is realizing, you know what? It's not my righteousness, it's God. You know, sometimes people make that mistake. They want to follow Christ. They want to follow Christ, but they want to establish their own righteousness. Romans chapter 10 and verse 3. Romans chapter 10 verse 3. "For being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, they have not submitted to the righteousness of God." Sometimes, maturing as a Christian is realizing, you know what? I can't do it better than God. I will never be able to do it better than God. I will never be able to make a system better in relation to right and wrong morals than God. And you know what? That's a sign of maturity when you realize that. When you start to say, you know what? It's not my righteousness, it's God's righteousness. I'm going to follow him. I'm not going to establish my own righteousness. I'm not going to try to make my own path. I am going to submit to the righteousness of God. But people think they can. They try to make their own standards of righteousness. You know, as you mature, you start to understand the ultimate goal of the Christian life. You know, throughout this life, it's always good to have targets. You know, in education as teachers, we have things called learning targets, we have objectives, we have standards, but different teachers do it different ways, but I write mine right up on the board, you know. Before you leave today, this is what you should be able to do. There's your target. What's the target of the Christian life? Sometimes that helps us. You know, the military, they have objectives. Here's our objective. They make it very clear. They make it as clear as they can because they don't want any confusion. What's the goal of the Christian life? What's the ultimate goal of the Christian life? Because when we don't have a goal, when we don't have a target, you know what happens? Any destination becomes acceptable. And that's a scary thought, isn't it? When we don't have a goal, when we don't have a target, when we don't have an objective, any destination becomes acceptable. If I don't tell my students, hey, by the time you leave today, this is what I expect you can do, then I've got no expectation for the day. You can leave out of my room and not learn anything, but it's okay because I didn't have an objective for the class anyway. Our mission is to take this city. Well, what if the military says, well, we don't really know what our objective is, we're just going to go in, you know, shoot some bullets, see what happens, and then the day go home. Well, I don't know if you're successful or not, we didn't have an objective. What's the Christian objective? What are we really after? Isn't our goal is to mature as much as possible so that we can be as much like Christ as possible? Understanding our lifelong quest of pushing towards the goal of spiritual maturity. Spiritual maturity in relation to spiritual perfection in relation to being as much like Christ as we can. Understanding that we're not perfect. Understanding that we're going to fall short. But what's your objective? What are you shooting for? I think that's what we see people doing all throughout the Bible. They're setting their target. They're setting their objective. You know, Paul's such a Christian example. He's such a Christian example of setting the objective. And you know what his objective is? You know, my objective is to be as much like Christ as possible. And he admits time and time over, you know what he's constantly saying? I'm the chief of sinners. I make mistakes. I'm not done yet. I have a long way to go. I have improvements to make in my life. I think that's encouraging to see from Paul. Paul, a great Christian example, what does he say? He says, I'm trying to follow Christ as best I can. But you know what? I'm the chief of sinners. I've made a lot of mistakes. I'm not perfect. I have a long way to go. I have a lot of improvements to make. But what's your goal, Paul? To be as much like Christ as possible. That's what he's shooting for. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, it says, imitate me, just as I also imitate Christ. Who is Paul following? He's following that example. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9, it says, these things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. He says, these things that you saw in me. You know, throughout this life, you're going to have to choose what example you're going to follow. As a Christian, as you mature, the examples you're supposed to follow are in relation to Christ. In relation to Christ, and it's okay to follow people as long as they're following Christ. And I think that's what Paul's really getting at. He says, imitate me as long as I'm following Christ. If I'm not following Christ, then don't follow me. But as long as I'm following Christ, follow me. But you know what people do sometimes in relation to their spiritual lives? They'll start following people that aren't going to heaven. Why would you follow someone not going to heaven? Why would you follow the worldly things? Why would you follow the worldly example? But people fall into that trap. You know, a sign of spiritual maturity is not following those bad examples. In fact, the Bible tells us to mark those bad examples so you can put them over here to the side so you can focus on following the good examples. In Romans chapter 16 and verse 17, it says, now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Why would you do that? Because the people around us have an influence on us. You need to know good examples and bad examples. That's a sign of maturity. Being able to distinguish between good and evil, that's a sign of maturity. And if you can't do it, it's going to endanger your growth. It's going to endanger your maturity. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 17 through 18, it says, you therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. What am I taking out of that passage? It says that beloved, you need to be mindful that you don't fall away. Why? You'd be led away by the error of the wicked by following a bad example. People follow bad examples all the time. But you know what? When you mature, you don't follow bad examples. First sign of maturity is growing. Second sign of maturity is following the right examples. Third sign of maturity, I believe, is staying committed. I think that sometimes that we see that in the physical world is that sometimes when we're younger, we're not necessarily super committed. You know, we're kind of flighty. We'll say we're going to do this, and we're going to say we're going to do this. But you know what? As we get older, we start to commit. You know, I think in relation to marriage, you know. Isn't that a commitment? A big commitment. You know, I think when I was younger, I was in seventh grade running cross country. I said I'd sign up. Parents were, oh yeah, okay, go sign up. I signed up. You know, first day of practice, I think I want to quit. This is a little too much, okay? Running the hills up and down all around. I didn't think this through. My parents said, no. You're going to stay committed. You signed the dotted line. You said you're going to be there for the season. You said you're going to be there for the season. You committed. You know, I think being committed is a sign of maturity. You know, we struggle throughout life with our commitment, I think. Sometimes we struggle because we are weighing the priorities in our life. Sometimes we struggle with dealing with the world. Sometimes we struggle with worldly pursuits. Sometimes we struggle with balancing our life. But do you understand that being mature is being committed to the things that really matter, getting your priorities in order? Not that as we go throughout this life, we're going to have a perfect understanding, perfect knowledge, perfect attitude, that we're going to be perfect at following examples. But are you committed? Are you committed as Paul was? Paul said, I'm still growing. I'm still pressing. I'm still giving my best. I have improvement to be made in my life. I can be better. Do you say that, or is your dialogue a little bit different? See, Paul was committed until death. He said, I'm going to grow until the day I die. I'm going to follow Christ. I'm going to follow good examples until the day I die. Are you committed? Do you have a mature mind? It's got nothing to do with age. I think that's what Paul was after, being committed until death. That's what we need to do. We need to continue growing until death. We need to continue following Christ until death. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. It says, for I, Paul speaking, says, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering. And the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all those who love his appearing. Do you understand your lifelong commitment? Are you remembering your lifelong commitment? See, that's what Paul's saying. Right when he's staring death in the face, you know what he's saying? I remember my commitment. I committed to live the Christian life. I committed to mature, to growing, to following the example of Christ. I've been committed to it my whole life. And now that I'm at the end, I'm staring death in the face. I know that I've done it. You know, that's the only time that we can say we're done maturing. You know, when we became Christians, we rejoiced. And I think we maybe forget that when we became Christians, didn't we make a promise? Didn't we make a commitment? Didn't we make a covenant that we were going to be the servant of the Lord? Do we understand and remember the lifelong commitment that we made to Christ? What's your commitment to Christ today? The one who died for you. You understand that we are to live a resurrected lifestyle. That our life should be an example that points to Christ. That we get as close to Christ as possible, getting closer day by day, pressing day by day to be better in our understanding, our knowledge, following His example. Do you understand that you're living a resurrected lifestyle? Or were you resurrected for a day and just went back to die again? You became a Christian. You went down in the watery grave of baptism, died to your life of sin, were raised in newness of life. Romans chapter 6 and verse 4, it says, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also we should walk in newness of life. You're living a resurrected lifestyle. You're living a resurrected lifestyle, trying to point your life to Christ, following his example. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. As much like Christ as possible. Now when people see my life, my example, they can say, he's a Christian. She's a Christian. Not that we're perfect. And I think Paul understood that. I'm not perfect. I'm pressing on. I'm trying to grow each and every day. I'm not always trying to grow each and every day. I'm trying to follow Christ's example and good examples every day. And you know what? I'm trying to stay committed each and every day. I think those are some signs of maturity. Signs of maturity of growing. Signs of maturity of following good examples. Signs of maturity staying committed. But you know what else is a sign of maturity? Taking care of what needs to be taken care of. You know what? At the end of Philippians, in Philippians chapter 3, it talks about that heavenly home. Philippians chapter 3, around 20, it talks about our citizenship being in heaven. And it talks about us eagerly waiting for the coming of our Lord. Are you eagerly waiting? What if he was to come today? Have you taken care of those things that you need to take care of? Maybe you're like, no, God, don't come today. I've got some people I need to talk to. Well, you know what a sign of maturity is? Taking care of those things that need taking care of. If you know that there's some people that need to be talked to in your life, go talk to them. That's a sign of maturity. And when it comes to becoming a New Testament Christian, you know what a sign of maturity is? Taking care of those things you know need taking care of. Taking responsibility. is a sign of maturity. There's so many signs of maturity in relation to our life. We could have probably hit on a whole bunch, but in relation to our lesson, I think Paul tells us, you know what? Growing is a sign of maturity. You know, following good examples is a sign of maturity, and staying committed is a sign of maturity. Will you be mature and take care of those things that you need to take care of? Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian. Perhaps you need the prayers of the church. We'd love to help you any way we can. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, we ask you please come as we stand as we sing.